Scripture reading tonight is taken out of the 13th chapter of John, starting in the 31st verse. John 13:31. Would you stand, please, for the reading of the word tonight? John 13:31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I will tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. But as everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Simon Peter asked him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus replied, "Where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later." Peter asked, "Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you." Then Jesus answered, "Will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." Amen.
So Jesus is having a pretty tough conversation with his disciples. As a matter of fact, this is their last time to sit down and have a meal, and we find Jesus washing their feet, and he predicts his betrayal of Judas, and then we see also right before this happens, Judas leaves the room. And the disciples are maybe a little confused as to why that's happening. And so we hear him having this conversation with the disciples, and he says to them that, "I'm only going to be with you just a little bit longer." And he says to them, "Where I'm going, you can't go." And this is hard for the disciples, but right in the middle of this conversation they're having about him not being here but much longer, Jesus tells them this. He says, "A new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." And it's interesting because I think the disciples got a little bit hung up on the fact that Jesus was no longer going to be with them and he was getting ready to leave. And so I don't know that they really caught the gravity of what was happening here, because here Jesus is saying to them, "I have this command for you, that brand new commandment." And as you know, when Jesus speaks and he has a commandment, that's kind of a serious moment, right? I mean, they've had some pretty serious moments up to this point in the conversation, but we see him finally saying this is a commandment. It's not saying it's a suggestion for you. Maybe you ought to consider doing these things. We see Jesus saying, "I have a new commandment for you, and I want you to love one another." And I think that it may have gone in one ear and out the other for the disciples for just a moment. I think that that even goes in one ear and out the other sometimes for us too, is that we understand that we're supposed to love people, but I don't know if we understand the gravity of what he's saying here. He says, "The way I've loved you is how you're supposed to love other people." And if we're just being really honest about it, this is not something that we think about every day, is it? I mean, we think about life and we think about doing great things for God, but we don't always think about loving the way he loves people, because life can be a little irritating sometimes and not everything goes the way we want it to go and not everyone responds the way they ought to respond and we get a little bit caught up in life. And so Jesus is bringing it back down to a very simple level for us, and he says, "The way I've loved you all along is the way I want you to love one another." And if you think about it, and you go back over the history of Jesus, his walk with him over the last 3 years, you see some sides of Jesus that I think are really important in the way we treat people, and that is that when Jesus saw people hurting, he immediately went out of his way to meet them where they were at. When he saw people who were stuck in sin, he didn't go over there to say, "I just want to let you know how sinful you've been and how you need to change your life." We found him just going and loving people where they were at and dealing with them where they're at, and we see him taking people that are out of their jobs, like fishermen and just normal people, and believing in them and believing in the power of God in them. And we see him taking people who aren't prepared and they don't have degrees and they're not Pharisees, they don't understand the law, they didn't come from some sort of religious background. He takes just really commonplace people and he says that God is going to do great things for you and I'm choosing you. And man, when you see that whole picture, it's like, I wonder sometimes, is that really how we live life? That when we see people hurting, we go out of our way. That life is not about what we're doing and life is not about what we're accomplishing for the day. It's about not missing any opportunities, you know? Because Jesus didn't miss opportunities with people. It's like that no matter where he went, he believed in people, and he had no problem with the fact that they were failed, that when they messed up and they didn't do things right and the disciples didn't understand stuff and they seemed ignorant and all these things, he didn't have a problem with that. That he just continued to kind of meet them where they're at and love on them and pour into them and continue to invest in them, even though on some level we might look at things and say, that's a bad investment, you know. But Jesus continued to invest in people. He continued to believe in people. And when they would fail, he'd lift them back up and put them back on their feet. And when they lacked faith and they should have already had it, I mean, they've seen Jesus move 100 times and they lack the faith again. It's like, I don't know how we're going to do this. And Jesus says, don't you remember you're with me, right? And I wonder if that's the way we interact with the world around us. I wonder if that's the kind of love and grace and understanding and believing the best in people. I wonder if that's the way we handle life, because just to be honest, that doesn't seem to be the way we do things. And it's like we might have moments of that when it's convenient, when it's comfortable. But Jesus didn't do these things when it was comfortable and convenient. He did them when he was at his worst moments, his toughest times. And when I look at this and I think about this simple commandment that he says, I have one new commandment for you. I want you to love one another. And we look at the way Jesus loved. He says, I want you to do it just like I did it. And I look at my own life, and I don't know if you can look at your life right now and think about this, but I wonder if that's the way that we love. I wonder if we love to the point where when someone offends us and does something against us, that we're just like, you know what, it's okay, you're human and I'm human too, and I love you where you're at. I wonder if that's where we're at. I wonder if we just kind of pour grace and mercy over stuff and say, you know, I know I've been that same person. You know, I wonder if that's the way we love people. But to be honest, I don't know that we're there, and I don't know that that's necessarily a conscious thought in our minds as we're working with people every day, because when people do stupid things, sometimes we call them stupid, you know? I mean, can we just be real, you know? Yeah. When people do things that just don't make sense, we want to tell them how little sense that makes. And when they do things that hurt us, we want to make sure they know, you hurt me and I'm not happy with you. And it's like, that's not a picture of Jesus at all. He says, I just want you to love one another. And, you know, he goes on to say that by this all men will know that you're my disciples. It's not because of the great things we did. It's not because you were a pastor. It's not because you went to school in theology. It's not because you served in the church. It's not because you were an usher. It's not because you've done anything in the church. It doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. He says that they'll know that you're my disciples by the way you love each other. And, man, isn't that a picture of what the world needs to see in the church today? You know, sometimes we think it's our job to somehow tell people when they're doing wrong. Or we need to kind of be the voice of truth for everybody, and we need to straighten everything out and make sure the world's right around us. And I don't see that at all when I read this. I see Jesus saying, look, first and foremost, before anything else, before you do anything in my name, before you do anything you consider to be great by me, all I want you to do is just love one another. That's all I want you to do. And, you know, a simple commandment becomes not so simple anymore, you know? Because a lot of us think that what gives us value and what really makes us great in the kingdom is that we've done some great thing, that God's going to use us one day to do something big. I can tell you, if you can love people around you the way Christ loves you, you've done something incredible. You really have. You've done great things, yeah. You've pulled off what most Christians never do in a lifetime. Really, you have. You've pulled off loving people the way Jesus loves you. And that is an incredible feat. It is a miraculous feat, and it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that that happens. I mean, what greater thing could it ever be that our family could say, you know what, he wasn't perfect, but I can tell you he loved me the way Christ loves me. Man, I would love that to be said about me in every way, and I would love that to be the thing that I leave behind. You know, and some people think that somehow, if you can pastor a church or you can lead people or you can be a great speaker or you can do all these things, you've done great things and you're leaving this legacy. But man, a legacy of deeds is nothing if you don't have a legacy of love behind it all, you know? And so it's interesting, and I see what Simon Peter has to say here, and I think it's funny because this is so us right here. Simon Peter asked, Lord, where are you going? I mean, he just got done telling you there's this incredible commandment, right? Like, I want you to love one another. I want you to do this. And then Simon Peter says, now, where are you going again? It's like he missed that whole piece of the conversation. And then Jesus says, where I'm going, you can't go. Of course, he already told him this, right? He just said that a little bit earlier. And then Peter says to him, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I'll lay down my life for you. I'll do great things for you if you just let me do it. And then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Really? Before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times, you know? And I think about this, and I think, you know, Peter was so concerned about the great things that he would do. He's like, I want you to know, Jesus, I would have laid my, I'd laid my life down for you right now. I can go where you're going. I can do this, and I'll go right now. And isn't that kind of how we are sometimes? Lord, I'll do anything for you. I'll speak in front of people. I'll go take a church. I'll do whatever I need to do. I'll become a worship leader. I will serve in a church. I will do anything. I will do great things in your name if you just let me. And he says, you know, Steve, you're not going to love the people I put in your life. And you've got really great plans for you. And I think so many times I spent time praying and said, God, what do you want me to do? I'll do anything for you. I'll go wherever you tell me to go. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll be faithful with whatever you hand me. Whatever you put in my hands, I'll do it. And you know what God wanted to work out more in me than anything else is I just want you to learn how to love people, because if you don't love people, everything you do is in vain. You know, that's why 1 Corinthians says that if you don't have love, you have nothing. Because if we don't have love behind what we're doing, then what are we doing, right? I mean, we all have great plans and we all want to do great things. But it ends up that it's not about the great stuff you're doing. It's about how much Christ comes out of you in this life that you live. And what kind of legacy you really want to leave. You know, can I just be straight? I mean, some of us are really, really short with people. Like, we don't have use for them. And we get really upset with them, and we get fired up on them, and we do things that make us look like we don't even value people. But the people are the whole point. You know, I hear pastors joke and say, you know, this pastoring thing would be so much easier if the people were gone, you know? But the people are the whole point, you know? I mean, and it's true for life, right? Like, we get so irritated with the people, but Christ says, one more commandment I give you, a new one I give you, and I want you to love one another. And it's not just amongst you disciples, right? This is not like, hey, make sure you love everybody in this church, and it's for the outside, who knows, you know? It's not like that at all. It's like, yeah, love everyone here, but love everyone outside too. But that's got to be your key motivation in life. It's got to be your whole point in life. I mean, if we can't start at that point and say, yeah, I'm willing to fulfill that commandment first, then nothing else really matters, you know? Because to be honest, I mean, and this is like, I know this is being really straight, and it's not being critical. I'm not trying to be critical. Just hear me. Is that in the church world today, I see so many people who almost want to angrily present the gospel, and you need to do this, you need to get it straight, you need to quit being like this, and they get so angry, and there's no love in that. And I don't get love from it. I watch it and I'm like, where's the love? You know what I mean? I hate to say that. Where's the love? But it's the way it is. Where's the love in all this? Because the thing is, if you don't love the people, you lack the right to speak into their lives, you know? Amen. And I see people who, meaning well, want to minister to people and to pour into their lives, but then when they see them making mistakes, they're like, I get so frustrated with these people. Well, that was you a long time ago. That was me. You know? We're no different. And I wonder what would happen in our life if our whole key point in ministry was not like trying to push the gospel at people, but trying to simply love people where they are the way Jesus loves us. I mean, I wonder what that would look like. What would it look like at the homestead, right? What would it look like in your woodworking business? What would it look like at the hospital, right? What would it look like at Ingevity? I mean, it would be an interesting thing. It would almost be foreign to the world around us, right? That you come into the workplace and you find yourself loving people. First and foremost, before even getting the job done, that you want to make sure that anybody you come in contact with, they know that they're loved by you first more than anything. Even when they open their mouths and say dumb things in meetings, right? You still love them anyway, right? Even when they nail you to the wall when you've made a mistake, don't nail them back. Just love them where they're at. I mean, I wonder what the world would look like if that's all we did first and foremost before anything else, because we understand that's why God made us, you know? I bet the world would look very different. I bet our workplaces would look different. I bet our families would look different. I mean, I see even parents getting so frustrated with their children because their children won't do the right things and they want to wring their necks. And I get that. I've been there, done that, okay? I didn't really wring their necks, okay? I didn't do that part, but I did. I wanted to, okay? And that's bad enough, right? If it was in my heart, it was still a sin, okay? But here's the thing. I wonder what it would be like if even in the midst of mistakes and failures and issues in life that all people ever got from us was love. Man, it would be like we're really walking the gospel out, you know? And I've been in church a long time. I've been in churches all over the place because we've moved a lot, and I've seen a lot of stuff over the years. I've seen stuff that's turned my stomach, you know? And I've seen stuff that's been so right on, you know? I got to say, there's a church we came from in Bakersfield before we came here. And it was a church based on recovery, and it was taking in everybody broken in the whole city. It was just amazing. I mean, there's like 6,000 people in the church now. It's like almost doubled in size since we left. Maybe there was a connection there. Maybe when we left, it grew. I don't know. But I never put that together until just now. Anyway, but here's the thing. It's like the whole focus on things were just to love people where they're at and not try to condemn anyone or correct anything at the time. Just bring them in, let them see Jesus Christ, and they will dive into the Word and know what it's about. And they will listen, and the Holy Spirit will begin to speak to them. There's something that opens up people's hearts and minds when love flows in their life, you know, when they experience the love of Christ. And it changes things, you know. And I know that sometimes people just want to make everything right, and they want to say, I speak the truth, and I do this, and I do that. But if we're not doing it in love, we're not doing anything. And so we go back to this command. Love one another. And to be honest, I really want this to be my life in every way. I mean, I get frustrated too, and I think things I shouldn't think, and I say things sometimes I shouldn't say. But I want this to be the focal point of my life right here in every way, that I just love people where they're at. But I don't want to do it the way I have always done it. I want to do it Jesus' way. Because when I look back over my life, and every one of us has our story about how Jesus met us where we are. But when I look back over my life, I see a life that was very much thrown away. I see a life that knew Christ well and walked away. I see a life that was going nowhere, and God got a hold of me. God restored something that was broken and it was messed up and it had lost focus, and God brought focus back in. I thought that I was living the life God wanted me to live by just making money and giving it to the church, and God says, that's not what I want. I want more of you. And it caused me to lay everything down to do this, you know. And I see a love that Jesus has for me that, honestly, I've never seen in any person before. You know, I had a pastor one time who believed in me. He saw my brokenness and believed in me anyway. And he saw that I was messed up, and he saw that I didn't have the education that I needed at the time, but he said, I know God has his hand on you, and I know you're going somewhere. And I saw Jesus in him. And I began to understand that, man, this thing about Jesus, I mean, if he'll pick a fisherman, he can pick a contractor just the same, right? And whatever we don't know, he can instill that in us. And his Holy Spirit works in me just like he works in other people, you know? That he doesn't need perfection, and he doesn't need me to know everything, because he actually wants to tell me how things are. I don't know if you've ever felt loved like that. You know, I know we feel love like that with Jesus, but have we felt love like that with each other? I mean, can we just be real about that? Have we loved people like that in our families, and have we loved them like that in our church and even in our workplace? Or has that not really been on our radar? I think sometimes we try to be good with people. I'm trying to be decent with people. Jesus is way better than decent, you know? Jesus was way better than cordial. He was way better than diplomatic. He loved people through and through. I mean, isn't that the way you want to do it? You guys with me or not? Okay, I'm just asking, yeah. I'm like, sorry, New York. You guys with me? Okay. Right. I'm sorry, Tony, the New York came out of me, and I've never even been there. Yeah. You guys with me or what? All right. So that's what the scripture says, right? So are we willing to take the command, or are we still going to be asking, hey, Jesus, I'll do great things. I'll die for you. I'll do whatever you ask me to do. Or are we just going to say, I'll take the commandment and take it to heart? Because I'm telling you, if you'll leave a legacy of love, you will have done something incredible with your life. Can we bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment? I don't know if this hits you where you live today or as you read this, it does anything in you, but when you read this tonight, if you think in your heart, you know, I really want to love the way Christ loves me, and I want to take this commandment on, and I want to live it out from this point on, and I don't want it to be just something I read that goes in one ear out the other. Yeah, I know Jesus wants us to love people. If you really want to put this into practice and make it a movement in your life and actually do something with it tonight, tomorrow, and in the days and the months and the years to come, if that's where you're at, if you would lift your hand tonight, I want to pray that Christ, through the power of His Holy Spirit, perfects this in you. Father God, you see the hearts of your people. Lord, you know where we are. You understand our frustrations. You understand where we are sometimes with the life around us. Lord, you know how we get caught up in things and don't always put you first, and sometimes we lose focus because we're so wrapped up in the world around us. But Lord, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, do you help us to take on this new command, this command to love one another. Just the way you've always loved us, Lord, help us to love people in our lives just that same way. And Lord, it says in your word that by this, that all will know that we're your disciples. Lord, I pray that we never bank on our credentials or bank on a church affiliation to somehow hope that people see that we're connected to you. But Lord, that it's so real in their hearts when they see us because they see the love in us. Lord, that's the one thing that's our signature, that's actually your signature on our life, that is the one thing that defines us as a believer. Lord, that it's not because we're doing great things for you, but we're being like you. Lord, I just thank you and I praise you that you're working this in our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray that you help us to put it into action as we go home and we're with our children tonight, with our spouses tonight, Lord, as we're in the workplace tomorrow. Lord, I just pray that you help us take this seriously and Lord, that as we get up and we have our conversations with employees tomorrow, with our friends tomorrow, whatever the case is, our family, Lord, the first thing we think about is, Lord, how can I love them and how can I make them know that I love them the way you've always loved me? Lord, I pray that you help us not just to assume that people know those things, Lord, to verbalize them and make them real, Lord, to act on them. Lord, I just thank you for loving us. I thank you for loving us in spite of all the things that we do and all the things that we think and just all the issues that we have. Lord, I pray that you help us to stay very connected to our humanity, Lord, so that we can give people the same grace you give us every day. Lord, we're just human, but Lord, we want to become more like you. Lord, we just love you and thank you and just praise you for what you're doing in our hearts tonight through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come. Praise you, Jesus.
Have the prayer team come up, please. So much went through my head tonight, but I think the main thing was my toes got stepped on. Because I can't love sometimes. But God loves me anyway. Yeah. And I think about, I stand here as a result of God's grace, and that's all. Thank you. But that's, just that grace, that unmerited favor, something I don't deserve, not qualified to do anything other than what God has for me to do. He qualifies. Prayer team's here to pray with you, to pray for you. If you join me as we close the service. Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you so much for the love that you pour out for us, Lord, the examples of love that you show us each and every day of people walking the walk, Father God. It's those that go before us, Father, and they're the living examples of Christ's love, Father God. And I thank you for putting those people in my path, Father. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. I thank you for Pastor Steve and the word that he's brought tonight, Father God. And Lord, I thank you that I'm able to stand here tonight and pray blessings over each and every person here. Pray that your love just encompasses them, Father God, that you hold them, that you comfort them, that you care for them, Father. We thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for your love. In Jesus' name.